Today marks the last Sunday of Easter season this year. On Thursday, Christians will commemorate Jesus Christ's bodily ascension into heaven, 40 days after his resurrection on Easter Sunday. Like a responsible teacher, in words and deeds, according to the Gospels of John and Luke, as we have been reflecting since the washing of feet of his disciples, and when they shared the Passover meal, Jesus took time with his disciples, preparing them for the way to the cross, his resurrection, as well as his physical absence. Taking off from where we left last Sunday, the gospel reading this morning, Jesus goes straight to the point, what he expects of his disciples and his followers before their time had come to take their place in the many dwelling places prepared for us. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Lest we have forgotten, after washing their feet, Jesus declared, I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Certainly, Jesus knew too well that what he was asking of his disciples was not a walk in the park, especially with his physical absence. So immediately, he assured them that they will not be orphaned. So he introduced the Spirit of Truth, the Advocate, the sustaining presence of God forever. But he quickly reminds them, the world cannot receive the Spirit of Truth because it neither sees God nor knows God, our Creator. This was not the first time disciples were learning about the Spirit, because at Jesus' baptism, the Holy Spirit descended upon him in the form of a dove, and more than once, they had witnessed Jesus filled with the Holy Spirit. For instance, in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus declared his ministry by quoting prophet Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of God's favor. In words and deeds, Jesus envisioned and modeled new socio-political and economic order through his teachings, parables, miracles, and worked very hard to protect the vulnerable and protesting injustices in the society. Through his ministry, we have a glimpse of what the reign of God would look like here on earth. Hence, through the lens of the new commandment of love and the sustaining presence of the Holy Spirit of truth. The disciples were charged to face the world where the least of these are who are exploited, oppressed, forgotten, and dehumanized in a violent and unjust way, which does not see human beings and creation as God sees it. So Jesus centered his ministry on the least of these, as we learn from the Gospels. We need to take note that Jesus, like the disciples, were Jews who were colonized by the Roman Empire, which had put cruel and tyrannical reign of Herod and his three sons in charge. They were Rome's puppet king of the Jews, which greatly intensified the suffering of the Jews during the time of Jesus that we are reflecting on. It is no wonder that the Lord's Prayer, according to Matthew, Jesus starts with, "Our Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, it is as it is done on earth as it is in heaven." Because he knew firsthand the tyrannical reign of Herod under the Roman Empire. On the other hand, there was the hereditary priestly class that was centered at the temple at Jerusalem. A class consisted of high priests and other elite priests whose collective job was to oversee the administration of Jerusalem temple, which was the heartbeat of Israel. Alongside the priests were the elders, the heads of the richest families in Jerusalem, whose wealth earned them full membership in the ruling council of the temple, the Sanhedrin that was made up of 71 men. And they also had servants and police at the temple. And all these supported the status quo and were known for their greed. Priests were agents of Roman interest and meted economic exploitation of their fellow Jews. And in this group, we encounter the Sadducees and also the Pharisees. In the Gospels, poverty in Israel was unprecedented due to the Roman tax structure and the debts that the majority of the poor acquired because they had to borrow money from the wealthy to pay the taxes. We know the stories of the tax collectors in the Gospels, and they were a part of the most hated class because they harassed the population on behalf of the Roman Empire. And so, again, in the Lord's Prayer, Jesus taught his disciples to pray, "Give us our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors." So the Lord's Prayer was very contextual among the people of that time. With political and economic breakdown, with large rural poor populations, economically exploited and dispossessed, crime rate and banditry increased, resulting to the breakdown in the social order. All this disrupted the commercial and discredited the ruling class. So there was a lot of criminality of all kind within the society. And of course, there were always protests because those who were very deprived had to fight to survive. And you can imagine, and we know our context today in some of our countries, one of which I come from. Inevitably, given this context, we can appreciate that Jesus' message rightly comes to us as radical and politically revolutionary, which culminated in his execution on the cross. No wonder he had to come up with a new commandment. In the hearing of some of us, Jesus is a fearless freedom fighter, a liberator who appropriately exercised righteous anger in the face of excessive exploitation and injustices, as witnessed in the temple in chapter 2 of John. No doubt his life was always in danger, like when he proclaimed his ministry in Nazareth, as we have read in Luke 4. We hear, when they heard this, all in the synagogue were filled with rage. So they got up, drove him out of the town, and led him to the brow of the hill on which their town was built, so that they might haul him off the cliff. So we don't have to wait to know that Jesus was a hunted teacher by the powers that be of the day. And because of such experiences, Jesus concludes the Lord's Prayer, and do not bring us to the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one. These were some of the things that the disciples had already learned from Jesus. How to pray when things get so hard. On the other hand, when he faced the least of these, he also engaged them with passion, compassion, actively transforming their lives through healing, raising some of them from dead, and even feeding thousands. He promoted socio-economic and political justice. Jesus suddenly died a political death. Hence, Christianity began as the faith for the oppressed in colonized Israel, especially among the Galileans, who were possibly the most devalued of all first century Jews. Among the Galileans was the family of Jesus, his disciples, and with a few exceptions, everyone he encountered throughout his life. People who were impoverished, oppressed, exploited by the religious establishment. They were brutalized by the Roman colonizers. Certainly, that is not new to some of us who have come from recently colonized nations, and we are still going through the pain as independent countries as we fight our way. These are the people and the disciples who pioneered Jesus' movement that Jesus was addressing in his lengthy farewell discourse in John chapters 13 to 16, which I would encourage all of us to sit and listen to, where he introduces the new commandment and the Spirit of truth, the advocate, the sustaining and guiding presence of God in their lives. He was no longer speaking in parables. Jesus did not mince his words. He openly told his disciples and all those who cared to listen and learn from him that they will indeed suffer for embracing this radical, politically charged revolutionary message of ushering in abundant life and bearing fruit, the fruit that lasts. In chapter 16 of John, he reminds the disciples, "I have said these things to you to keep you from falling away. They will put you out of the synagogues. Indeed, an hour is coming when those who kill you will think that by doing so, they will be offering worship to God. And they will do this because they have not known the Father or me. But I have said these things to you so that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told you about them." The task for the disciples and the followers was to believe in this message, to love Jesus, and to fulfill the new commandment in such a context as we have reflected on. And later, that's where we hear Peter, who of course was one of the disciples, one of those whose head also came through execution. And we read that he begged that he is not crucified like his Lord. So he was crucified upside down. And Peter encourages these early Christians, which we already read this morning, "Now, who will harm you if you are eager to do what is good? But if you do suffer for doing what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear, and do not be intimidated. But in your hearts, sanctify Christ as Lord. Always be ready to make your defense to anyone who demands from you an accounting for the hope that is in you. Yet, do it with gentleness and respect. Maintain a good conscience so that when you are maligned, those who abuse you for your good conduct in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if suffering should be God's will, than to suffer by doing evil. For Christ also suffered for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, in order to bring you to God." Scholars of early Christianity during the first three centuries demonstrate how those who professed this faith in the resurrected Jesus were ruthlessly victimized by the Romans and often martyred for their faith. The book of Revelation, which is written by the John we are referring to this morning, recounts some of the tribulations of the early Christians at the hands of the Romans. Today, Jesus is inviting us to read scripture through the lens of love and justice. In this context, we are referring to the agape love, which is a Greek term for the highest form of love, which is selfishness, unconditional and sacrificial. Let us act in love in a world where we continue to witness horrific political repression, violence and economic exploitation, meted on particular undeserved poor populations. The least of these, even in the advanced democracies, we know there are those who are exploited, intimidated, rejected, and abandoned. And we need to believe in the sustaining and guiding spirit of truth so that we can walk the talk that Jesus has taught us. Have a blessed Ascension Day. Amen.